Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Thursday class, June 8, 2023, 1 John.
Can you hear anything here? No, nothing. Heal. Supposed to be on.
See, there's
nothing there.
That'll help. Sorry about that.
The secret button. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. And in preparation to worship our Lord, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that as we witness the wheels coming off the wagon in this time in human history, we thank you, sir, that Jesus Christ controls history. And we thank you for the privilege that we have of assembling in freedom to worship you through the study of your word. And as we do so, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Before we get started, this remind you again, if you would like to sign the card that we're sending to Cindy LaRosa, please see Debbie tonight after class, as some of you have. And then also, this is the last time to remind you that this Saturday, June 10th at 2 p.m., a double memorial service for Paula Roseberry and Don Lewis, and you're all invited. This is from Jim Showers, the executive director and president of the Friends of Israel Gospel Ministry. And it's a great introduction to 1 John. It's difficult for me to remember a time when there seemed to be as much uncertainty in the world as there is today. And then he says, we who abide in the Lord. Oh, that's John. That's 1 John. And that's abiding in the Lord. That's mellowing in the Lord. That's living the spiritual life. We who abide in the Lord, who are living the spiritual life, we take comfort in knowing that God is in control. Absolutely. Unfortunately, there are lots of believers and unbelievers who are not abiding in the Lord, and they are wondering what is going on planet Earth. Current political tensions in the Middle East are compounded by Iran's regional strategy designed to challenge American interests and those of its allies, especially Israel. Iran continues to be a major destabilizing force in the region through its ballistic missile and nuclear programs, through the funding of terrorist groups in the Middle East, through their cyber warfare capabilities, and antagonizing naval presence in the Persian Gulf. The recent violence against Israel from Hamas, which is an Iranian proxy operating in Lebanon and Gaza, reminds us how fragile peace is in the Middle East. The threat of war is tangible. We see unprecedented alliances forming among Russia, China, Turkey, Saudi Arabia, Syria, Lebanon, and Iran. Iran and Saudi Arabia have never agreed on anything before, but they do now. The United States' support for Israel's security and sovereignty must be paramount. But I am very concerned by America's diminishing influence in the region and weakening U.S. political support for Israel. And now, the internal conflict related to the proposed judicial reform is destabilizing the Israeli political system. Arab unrest and civilian protests are on the rise as Israel's enemies watch closely and see their weakness. You may have heard about the proposed legislation by two Haredi members of the Israeli Knesset in January 2023 to restrict spiritual conversions. That is, to judge and discipline Jews who believe in Jesus Christ for eternal salvation. And the legislation is that a Jew believes in Christ, they're put in prison. Thankfully, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu stated that the Israeli government will not advance any law against the Christian community. Benjamin Netanyahu is an excellent, excellent Prime Minister. Part of our mission is to support the small but growing community of Israeli believers in Jesus Christ. As you can imagine, they are very concerned about the political climate and what that means for their churches, their families, and the ability to share their faith in Jesus Christ. We know from Scripture that God's program for redemption isn't a straight and easy path, but He has declared in Isaiah 49:16 that He has inscribed Israel on the palms of His hands. And then again in Psalm 121:4, He guards Israel. He who guards Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. Nothing escapes His notice, and nothing will thwart His plans for Israel, for believers, and His plan for this world. Those of us living by faith can see the signs, and we know our hope is in the imminent return of Jesus Christ, the rapture, the resurrection of the royal family of God. But for so many around the world who don't believe, time is growing short, and the world is feeling increasingly unstable. All right, 1 John chapter 4, we just got started last time with verse 1. It starts out, beloved, royal family of God, stop believing any and every, and then the Greek word is pneuma. P-E-N-E-U-M-A. Pneuma. I know some of you call it pneuma, but if you were no self-respecting Greek would say pneuma, you would say pneuma. So, beloved royal family of God, stop believing any and every pneuma. Now, the key is, what is the word pneuma referring to? Well, pneuma has four different uses in the New Testament scriptures. First of all, pneuma can mean wind or blowing or breathing or breath. That's one use. A second use, it can mean God the Holy Spirit. Sometimes it's God the Holy Spirit. Sometimes it's the human spirit. That's the second use. A third use of pneuma, it's used of spirit beings, angels, and evil spirits, demons. So it's used of angels and demons. But Arnton Gingrich, The Greek Lexicon, page 684, says pneuma sometimes is used of people. Ah, that's how it's used here. Pneuma is used of people, people who are influenced by a spirit. False teachers, people who are false teachers, influenced by demons. Sound doctrinal teachers who are influenced by God the Holy Spirit. Now, this is how pneuma is used in our passage. These are people. These are human beings. Human beings who are influenced by a spirit. False teachers influenced by evil spirits. Sound doctrinal teachers influenced by God the Holy Spirit. This is critical in the exegesis of this verse. And again, this is why I'm a plotter. I plot along. I'm not a genius. That would be the most arrogant thing to ever come from my mouth. I am not a genius. I am a plotter. But I look at every single word and I look it up and study God the Holy Spirit along with that, looking up and making sure that I know exactly what God the Holy Spirit is saying here in this passage. The present imperative of the negative may says, to stop doing something that you are currently doing. Beloved, royal family of God, stop believing any and every influential speaker, communicator of the Word of God. But analyze the spirits. Analyze those people, those teachers, those communicators of the Word of God, whether they are from God, because many false teachers, false prophets, have gone out into the world to evangelize for the cosmic system. The present imperative of Pistewo with the negative may says, many believers in the Apostle John's congregation have already flunked this test. Stop believing any and every influential speaker, communicator of Bible doctrine. And what John is doing, he's giving a very serious warning that has been needed in every generation of human history. Beware of false teachers. The Christian who possesses the Holy Spirit, the universal indwelling of the Spirit, every church age believer does, must not be so naive as to think that God's Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, is the only Spirit that's at work in the world. Satan has many spirits who serve him, demons who serve him right here on planet Earth, and is shown by the fact that many false prophets, many false teachers have gone out into the world. Satan is the greatest counterfeiter of all time. He stated in Isaiah 14:14, I will make myself like the Most High God. And John is teaching the same thing that our Lord Jesus Christ taught in Matthew 7:15. And John was there as Jesus Christ taught this. Jesus Christ says, beware. Beware of the pseudo-prophetes, the false prophets, the false teachers, who come to you in sheep's clothing. They seem to be wonderful. They have sheep's clothing. But inwardly, they are ravenous wolves. Well, that's exactly what the Apostle John is teaching. The Lord Jesus Christ said false prophets were to be tested, and they were to be tested by their fruits, Matthew 7:16-20. And we looked at that last time. Now, this does not mean that they were to be tested by their works. On the contrary, their fruits refers to their words, what they teach, what they communicate. And Jesus Christ made that clear in Matthew 12:33-37. They may look like sheep, but in reality they are ravenous wolves. Their behavior does not set them apart from the sheep, but their message does. They're dressed, they look like sheep, but their message does separate them apart. It's not the man, it's the message. False teachers are often very eloquent and influential. The issue is not eloquence, but content of the message. Is the content of the message the absolute truth of God's Word, grace and truth, or is it lies, false gospel, false doctrine? Eloquence and persuasive teaching can be true or false. And this demands that the believer must be living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills to grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ so that you know what the grace and truth of the Word of God is. And you can pass this test. Remember this, eloquent lies are still lies. Maximum metabolized doctrine in the heart provides doctrinal discernment, giving the believer the ability to distinguish between truth and lies. So once again, verse 1 says, beloved ones, royal family of God, stop believing any and every influential speaker, communicator of the Word of God, but analyze the spirits, And again, these are people, teachers, communicators of God's word, whether they are from God. Because many false prophets, false teachers have gone out into the world to evangelize for the cosmic system. All right, let's summarize this. One, false teachers are a very important part of Satan's strategy. He has many strategies as the ruler of planet Earth. And false teachers, people, human beings, influenced by demons, are very, very important part of Satan's strategy. Two, these false teachers have a phony, hypocritical facade. A phony, hypocritical facade. They look like sheep, but they're not sheep. They have sheep's clothing, but they're really wolves. They're not sheep. Three, they are really wolves in sheep's clothing, and that's what Jesus Christ declared in Matthew 7:15. They are really wolves in sheep's clothing. We have lots of wolves in sheep's clothing in the United States of America today. Four, they are Satan's evangelists for the cosmic system. They are Satan's evangelists for the cosmic system. Turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians 11. We'll be there in Wednesday night class probably next week. Okay, I'll rebound now. I'm glad you have a sense of humor. That's great. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 13. For such men are false apostles, deceitful workmen, masquerading as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. It is not surprising then if his servants masquerade as servants of righteousness, but their end will be what their actions deserve. 2 Corinthians 11, 13 to 15. So they are Satan's evangelists for the cosmic system. Five, they proclaim a false gospel. They proclaim a false gospel. Turn over to 2 Corinthians 4. And we studied this not too long ago, about a couple of weeks ago. 2 Corinthians 4, 3 and 4. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this world, that's Satan, the ruler of planet Earth, has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Now, turn over to Galatians 1. Galatians 1. Galatians 1, starting at verse 6. I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you by the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, a false gospel, which is really no gospel at all. I love Paul is really nailing this. I'm astonished. I can't believe that you are deserting the one who called you by the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion. These are false teachers. Throwing you into confusion, legalists, and are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should proclaim a gospel other than the one that we proclaim to you, let that one be eternally condemned. Wow. Pretty strong. Let that one be eternally condemned. Verse 9. As we have already said, so now I repeat and say again. If anybody is proclaiming to you a gospel other than what you accepted, the grace gospel of Jesus Christ, let that one be eternally condemned. So, these spirits, these false teachers, are proclaiming a false gospel. 2 Corinthians 4:3 and 4, Galatians 1:6 through 9. 6. They also proclaim false doctrine. In fact, it's specifically called doctrines of demons. Turn over to 1 Timothy 4. First Timothy 4, verse 1. We start out with the Spirit, and this is pneuma used for God the Holy Spirit. God the Holy Spirit clearly teaches that in later times, some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons, doctrines of demons. 1 Timothy 4, verse 1. So they are wolves in sheep's clothing. They are Satan's evangelists for the cosmic system. They proclaim a false gospel. They proclaim false doctrine. 7. With the false doctrine, they also have the devil's communion table. With the false doctrine, they have the devil's communion table. 1 Corinthians 10, 19 to 21. So turn over to 1 Corinthians 10. First Corinthians 10, verse 19. Do I mean then that a sacrifice offered to an idol is anything, or that an idol is anything? No, but the sacrifices of pagans are offered to demons, not to God. And I do not want you to be ones who fellowship with demons. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons too. You cannot have a part in both the Lord's table and the table of demons. 8. In addition to the cosmic system, Satan has a well-organized cadre of demons to influence these false teachers. In addition to the cosmic system, Satan has a well-organized cadre of demons to influence these false teachers. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Starting at verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God. Now this is to protect you from these pseudo-prophetes, these false teachers, these spirits, these communicators of the Word of God and influential speakers that are communicating lies. To prevent you from being casualties and protecting you from that, you need to put on the armor of God. And the armor of God goes on in your soul, not your body, in your soul. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's strategies. For our struggle, our war, is not against flesh and blood, but against the ruling demons, against the demons in authority, against the powers of this dark world, the world ruling demons, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. So, in addition to the cosmic system, Satan has a well-organized cadre of demons to influence these false teachers, these influential communicators. Ephesians 6, 10 through 12. 9, these false teachers try to reconcile false doctrine with the Word of God. In other words, evolution with the absolute truth of creationism. The Word of God teaches creationism, not evolution. Evolution is a total, total lie. But these false teachers will try to reconcile evolution with the absolute truth of creationism. These false teachers include so many areas of socialism and try to reconcile socialism with the Word of God, or psychology with the Word of God, or sociology with the Word of God. And all of this is false teaching and lies. So 1 John 4:1 again says, "Beloved ones, royal family of God, stop believing any and every influential speaker, communicator of the Word of God, but analyze the spirits being people, influential speakers, communicators of God's Word, whether they are from God, because many false prophets, false teachers, have gone out into the world to evangelize for the cosmic system." Now that brings us to verse 2. "By this know ye the Spirit of God." So now we go to the Spirit of God. This is the prepositional phrase "en" plus the dative singular of the demonstrative pronoun "houtos" plus the present active imperative of "gnosko" plus the accusative singular of "pneuma" with the definite article, plus the genitive singular of "theos" with the definite article. The preposition "en" plus the dative singular of "houtos." En plus houtos. Preposition "en", "en", "houtos", "houtos". En houtos. En houtos is correctly translated "by this", and "by this" looks back again at verse 1. This is how, by testing and analyzing the spirits, the teachers of Bible doctrine in verse 1, that you recognize the Spirit of God. Or we could translate it this way, by testing and analyzing the spirits, the people, the communicators of doctrine, verse 1, this is how the Spirit of God is recognized. Now the rest of verse 2 and verse 3 gives the substance of that test that is used to recognize God's Spirit, God the Holy Spirit. So, 1, you must test and analyze the spirits. There are a lot of communicators of the Word of God. Some are communicating grace and truth. Some are communicating lies, false gospels, false doctrine. So you must test and analyze the spirits, the communicators of Bible doctrine, so that you can recognize God's Spirit, God the Holy Spirit. You must test and analyze the Spirit, the communicators of the Word of God, so that you can recognize God's Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, the faithful communicators of the Word of God, communicate by the grace and power of God, by the power of the Spirit of God. Believe me, it's not by my power. It's totally by the grace and power of God, God the Holy Spirit. And my prayers over and over again is that God the Holy Spirit might give me clarity of thought and clarity of speech in the communication of the Word of God, that God the Holy Spirit might recall to the memory center of my soul all of these doctrines that relate to the passages we're studying. It's God the Holy Spirit. He is the one that's influencing this communicator of the Word of God. God the Holy Spirit. So you must test and analyze the spirits, communicators of Bible doctrine, so that you can recognize God's Spirit too. If you believe every spirit, every communicator of doctrine, you will really not know which of them is truly God's. If you believe every spirit, every communicator of Bible doctrine, you will really not know which of them is truly God. Three, the believer minus Bible doctrine, or living in the cosmic system, cannot make correct analysis nor make correct application. The believer minus Bible doctrine or living in the cosmic system cannot make correct analysis nor correct application. Four, you must be living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. And what are the spiritual skills? The filling of the Spirit. You must be filled with the Spirit. Now, what is the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, fidelity, tolerance, self-control. Not hate. Not mental attitude sins of hate. Not mental attitude sins of judging and slandering and maligning. And I've been slandered, maligned, and judged by a lot of people. That's not the fruit of the Spirit. I don't see anywhere in the fruit of the Spirit that the fruit of the Spirit is judging, slandering, maligning. The fruit of the Spirit is love. That's virtue love. Virtue love. Personal love for God the Father, which motivates impersonal love for all. Occupation with Jesus Christ. Sharing the happiness of God. Love, joy, virtue, love, happiness. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, fidelity, tolerance, self-control. So you must be living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills to fulfill this warning accurately. You must be filled with the Spirit. You must be walking by the Spirit. You must be consistently and faithfully assembling in a sound Bible teaching church and grow up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. And when you grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, then you will have virtue, love brought to completion in your heart, and you'll be a joy to be around. You will fulfill the mandates of the Word of God. And there are so many mandates in the Word of God for us, but you will fulfill those mandates. And then the verb gnosko. G-I-N-O-S-K-O. Gnosko. Gnosko, first of all, means to know, but also to come to know. And then it means to learn to recognize. And that's how it's used here. To learn to recognize, to ascertain. And then to come to recognize what? To come to recognize ta pneuma tou theou. This is the definite article, ta, pneuma, P-N-E-U-M-A. And here it's used for God the Holy Spirit. This is the genitive of the definite article, T-O-U. This is the genitive of theos. And the genitive is T-H-E-O-U. Ta, pneuma, tou theou. The Spirit of God. So the corrected translation says, this is how the Spirit of God is recognized. This is how the Spirit of God is recognized. Now the rest of verse 2 and verse 3 gives the substance of the test that is to be used to recognize God's Spirit, God the Holy Spirit. So this is how the Spirit of God is recognized. Every spirit that confesseth. This is the nominative singular of pos plus pneuma plus the relative pronoun host with the present active indicative of homo legao. Pos, P-A-S, pos is every, and then we have pneuma, and again, this is the word that is so important to correctly translate this. And this, once again, is pneuma used of people. Spirit here is people, communicators of the Word of God. And in this verse, sound doctrinal communicators of the Word of God. There are a lot of men standing in pulpits, but this is sound doctrinal communicators of the Word of God. Pneuma. And then the relative pronoun hosts. H-O-S. Hosts is, should be translated who. And then the verb homo legao. H-O-M-O-L-O-G-E, long O, homo legao. Now, homo legao means to admit, to acknowledge. You know this is in 1 John 1:9. If we homo legao our sins, acknowledge our sins to God, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This is the verb that's used there in 1 John 1:9. And it means to admit, to acknowledge. This is the teaching of the Word of God by God's faithful communicators. In this verse, 1 John 4:2, homo legao is used for the teaching of the Word of God by God's faithful communicators. The present tense is an iterative present The present tense of repeated action. That faithful communicator of the Word of God will teach the grace and truth of the Word of God again and again and again and again and keep on. He's not teaching you so you can remember it. He's teaching you so you will never forget it. That's the iterative present of homologeo. So this is the teaching of the Word of God by God's faithful communicators. Iterative present. The present tense of repeated action. Repetition, repetition, repetition. The active voice, God's faithful communicator performed the action of consistent and faithful acknowledgement that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. Now this is very, very important. That God's faithful communicators performed the action of consistent and faithful acknowledgement that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. The indicative mood is declarative. This is a dogmatic fact. This is the absolute truth taught by God's faithful communicators, God's faithful pastor teacher in the post-canon period of the church age. So the corrected translation says, every spirit, every sound doctrinal communicator who acknowledges, who teaches that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is the accusative singular of Jesus with the accusative singular of Christos, plus the perfect middle participle of erkomai, plus the prepositional phrase, and plus the dative singular of sarx. Jesus Christos. That's I, long E-S-O-U-S, Jesus, transliterated Jesus, Christos, Christ, that's the equivalent of the Hebrew Mashiach, the Messiah. Jesus Christ, Jesus is the Christ, Jesus is the Messiah. And then we have erkomai, the verb erkomai. E-R-C-H-O-M-A-I, erkomai. Now, a couple of things on erkomai. First of all, generally, it's translated to come. Point two, Arntgen Gingrich, the Greek lexicon, page 310 and 311, says that frequently the coming has the meaning of to appear, to make an appearance, to come before the public. To appear, to make an appearance, to come before the public. Three, it is specifically used here for the coming of the Messiah. The coming of the Messiah, the Christ, the Anointed One, Jesus Christ. Four, it emphasizes the greatest miracle of all time, the incarnation of the eternal Son of God, on that very first Christmas. So it emphasizes the greatest miracle of all time, the incarnation of the eternal Son of God on that very first Christmas. Five, it emphasizes the hypostatic union of the Messiah. He was always the eternal God. But at the incarnation, that eternal God took on true humanity. So it emphasizes the hypostatic union of the Messiah. He is undiminished deity, always was. always will be. He is also now true humanity, united in one person forever. And then the prepositional phrase N plus the dative of sarx, which is in the flesh. So every spirit, every sound doctrinal communicator who acknowledges, teaches that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. All right? One. True pastors, faithful pastors, teach the incarnation and virgin birth of the eternal Son of God. True pastors, faithful pastors, teach the incarnation and virgin birth of the eternal Son of God. Two, true pastors teach the hypostatic union of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. True pastors teach the hypostatic union of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. Now this is a very, very important issue in the Word of God, and in John's day, it was a critical teaching because there were false teachers coming into John's congregation. These false teachers are called Gnostics. They came into John's congregation and they were teaching Gnosticism. And Gnosticism was an attack on the hypostatic union of the Lord Jesus Christ. They denied the hypostatic union of Jesus Christ. They denied the fact that he was undiminished deity and true humanity united in one person forever. And these Gnostics were pulling out and taking a huge number of believers out of John's congregation. This was a major, major issue. So three, this is in contrast to the false teachers of John's day, the Gnostics, who taught that Jesus Christ did not come in the flesh. This is in contrast to the false teachers of John's day, the Gnostics, who taught that Jesus Christ did not come in the flesh. Four, Gnosticism rejected the hypostatic union of the Lord Jesus Christ. Gnosticism rejected the hypostatic union of the Lord Jesus Christ. These were false teachers. Pseudoprophetes, influential. They were had high IQs, very influential speakers, and they influenced many Christians in John's congregation and led them astray. Gnosticism rejected the hypostatic union of the Lord Jesus Christ. Five. Gnostics taught that Christ was an optical illusion and that he never, never came in the flesh. The Gnostics taught that Christ was an optical illusion, that he never came in the flesh. So we have so far, this is how the Spirit of God, God the Holy Spirit, is recognized. every spirit, every sound doctrinal communicator who acknowledges and teaches that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. And then the last statement is of God. And this is the present active indicative of the to be verb eimi plus the prepositional phrase ek plus the genitive singular of theos with the definite article. Eimi is the Greek to be verb. E-I-M-I, eimi. And it's translated, he is the sound doctrinal communicator who acknowledges and teaches that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. That communicator is from God. The present tense is a nomic present introducing a timeless axiom of Scripture. And the axiom is this: the pastor who teaches Christology and soteriology, the pastor who teaches the incarnation and virgin birth of the eternal Son of God, the pastor who teaches the hypostatic union of Jesus Christ, the pastor who teaches Operation Grace, the pastor who teaches the impeccability of Jesus Christ, the pastor who teaches the doctrines of redemption and reconciliation and propitiation, that pastor is from God. So the present tense is a nomic present introducing a timeless axiom of Scripture. The pastor who teaches Christology and soteriology, the incarnation and virgin birth of the eternal Son of God, his hypostatic union, operation grace, impeccability of Christ, redemption, reconciliation, propitiation, he is from God. The active voice, the sound doctrinal pastor, performs the action of teaching these doctrines. The indicative mood is declarative. This is a dogmatic fact, absolute truth of the God-breathed Scriptures. And then the preposition ek. Looked like that in the Greek and in the English. Ek means from. And then theos. T-H-E-O-S. That's God. This is how the Spirit of God is recognized. Every spirit, every sound doctrinal communicator who acknowledges, who teaches that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, he is from God. So now verse 2. This is how the Spirit of God, God the Holy Spirit, is recognized. Every spirit, every sound doctrinal teacher, communicator, who acknowledges and teaches that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, he is from God. All right, so this is a critical passage in 1 John chapter 4. Unique in many ways. And this is something that certainly has to be understood today and is not understood today. We have a lot of believers. They have been buffaloed to follow pseudo-prophetes. Oh, they're influential speakers. They sound great. Boy, they look like they got... they look like sheep, but they're not sheep. And they're standing in pulpits all over America. It's very, very hard today. And I admit this, I recognize this. Very hard today in our country to find sound doctrinal communicators of the Word. I can't tell you how many churches there are in this country whose pastors have gone home to be with the Lord, whose pastors have gotten too old and they've resigned. Probably some of you wondering when that's going to happen here, you know. Well, I don't consider myself old. Now I look out at you. There's nothing I love more than communicating the Word of God. And here are all these churches. They call here. They call and ask, Pastor Olson, do you know anybody you can send to us to teach and be a pastor in our church? And I said, you know, I don't. They said, we have had different people come in, and people come in from Dallas Theological Seminary, people come in from Chafer Theological Seminary, and they aren't teaching the grace and truth of God's Word. And I said, I totally, totally understand. It's the time in which we're living. And it's getting harder and harder for believers to find sound doctrinal Bible teachers. Now, you have been getting the grace and truth of God's Word. I'm not going to be here forever. The rapture is going to take place. I'll be out of here. Now, you might still be here. I don't know. No, you'll all be out too. But whenever the Lord says, Pastor Olson, get your butt up here, I'm getting my butt up there as fast as possible and looking forward to it. I'm not even going to ask to come back. But right now, that's not His plan. Right now, He wants me here studying and teaching His Word, and that's my life, and that's my love. And I will keep on keeping on. And frankly, I'm feeling my oats better today than I have for a long time. Well, I might even yell at you from time to time. But anyway, this passage is critical to understand. Father, we thank You, sir, for Your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.